All right, good afternoon, everybody. Many of you sleep deprived, weary from last night. I don't drink caffeine anymore, so I need to just get by on being fueled by natural frustration and dismay over what happened last night, Malzi. I know you're probably mainlining cold brews today. Donnie had the biggest iced coffee I've ever seen him drink, with four sugars in it today. He was extra charged.
He's allowed. He's lost all that weight. He's kept it off.
He treated himself.
He can afford to have a little bit of sugar.
The Steelers did not treat us to a good game last night. They lose 20-17. We'll open the phones here at 412-928-9370. My take on it is the formula's broken and the Tomlin way is exposed. He has built the team in his likeness, and the way he wants to win is by playing defense and running the ball. And I don't want to hear, and maybe we will hear this, but I don't really have a high patience level or tolerance for, well, the defense played bend, don't break, or the defense only allowed 20 points. The idea here, based on the investment you've made in defense and who's coaching it, is to be the best defense in the NFL. So when you have a team come in here and have the ball for as long as the Cowboys did with 445 yards of offense, in Tomlin's entire tenure, that's the fourth most yards they've given up in a home loss. So, and then in the fourth quarter, it's a 95-yard drive and a 70-yard drive, and it's 15 plays and 16 plays. That's not the team he built. He's getting on his offense. We can get into all of it. Yeah, it sucked again. 19 passing yards in the first half. But his whole strategy is, let's win close games with defense and running the ball. And running the ball last night against one of the worst run defenses in the NFL, Chris. Najee Harris, 3 yards per carry. And Shampkin and, what's the other guy's name? Ward looked better when they had the ball in their hands. So this is what he wanted, right? This is what he signed up for. He wanted to squash grapes, apparently, and win every game ugly. And now they've lost two in a row.
My biggest takeaway is that the Steelers have a Mike Tomlin problem, and it's not going to get fixed because the only person who can fix it is Mike Tomlin. And Mike Tomlin, as we saw or heard with the stupid platitudes that I'm very, very beyond sick of, I think just thinks this is life in the NFL. Doesn't have to be. Collinsworth, you know, I think is a very good color commentator, and I think Tirico is probably the best in the business. I love that pairing in the booth.
I agree.
They embarrassed themselves last night saying, this is why they lift all them weights. This is why Mike keeps the pads on. No, you know what you should do against a team that has Micah Parsons down, that has DeMarcus Lawrence down? Whoop their ass. Come out, beat the absolute you-know-what out of them, and make the game a laugher where Collinsworth and Tirico are going to their C, D, and E material by the middle of the fourth quarter.
They had used
there
all that up on the delay.
There is nothing laudable whatsoever about letting a team whose quarterback, by the way, self-destructed them twice on what would have been crucial drives with interceptions. You're winning the turnover battle basically 3-0. I don't count the fumble in the last play. There's nothing laudable about that game being close. There is a through line from everything that sucked about last night, from the defense getting run on by the worst running offense in the NFL coming into the game, from the offense going with a complete, we're giving up because we don't want to risk 3 points at the expense of trying for 7 points on the Shampkin 5-yard run on 3rd and 8. There's a through line that connects those two things to George Pickens being completely out to effing lunch on half the plays that he was actually in the game for.
Yep.
There's a through line that then connects that all the way to the post game where you've got Justin Fields saying, I don't know what this team's identity is, and the head coach saying, well, we are trying to pitch count George Pickens to get the most out of him. The through line, the thing that connects all of this. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention Beanie Bishop looking like he doesn't know where he's supposed to be on the field. Numerous coverage breakdowns. Your strong safety or your free safety is making $18 million saying, simplify the defense. We just got to go out there and play fast. There's one through line that connects all of it. His name is Mike Tomlin, and I am a defender of his more often than not, at least compared to the average Pittsburgher, but I have seen enough. I am so sick of watching this team lose football games to inferior opponents, and that's really given what Dallas was losing on the defensive side. That's what they were coming into the game. I'm sick of watching them lose the same way and then feel like I'm being gaslit when I turn on the national media. In last night's case, it was the broadcast team, and hear them talking about essentially how lucky I am as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan that this guy coaches my team. I don't feel lucky. I feel like I'm in purgatory and I'm never going to get out as long as a guy that wants to coach like it's 1972 is running the show. Larry Zonka and Jim Kick aren't walking through the door. This sucks. I hate it. And it's the head coach's fault more than anybody else. Oh, you'll get through to George Pickens. We'll shepherd him into adulthood. He looks like a petulant baby out there. Everybody on every opposing defense knows they can get under his skin. They're calling him soft. He basically proved that they were right, jogging through routes. It's a joke. I'm sick of it.
But they have a winning record right now, Chris, so I'm sure
they're the third best team in their division, and if Jameis Winston suits up for the Browns, which won't happen because they're the only dumber team right now in the division and maybe in football, if Jameis was suiting up, they'd be the worst team in the division. Period.
Yeah, I just want to take a step back for a second and just say welcome to the dark side. I appreciate you now coming over to my way of thinking.
It just sucks. I'm sick of watching it, man.
Well,
I'm absolutely sick of it.
I've been trying to tell you this for years, okay? I know you ignored me on the Pickett stuff and for good reason and told me I was an idiot for that. I've been saying these things about the coach for a very long time.
I mean, I've seen them crop up before, but last night just, it's probably that I'm tired, that I could have slept in an hour later, but I didn't realize Lennox had a two-hour delay. I'm pissed off. And I'm just not in the mood to give the guy even an ounce of grace. I think the Pickens thing is actually what's put me over the edge
here. Well, we'll get into a lot
of
that today.
I know.
412-928-9370. I don't want to dissuade our listeners from putting their two cents in on that either. Yeah, they describe the Steelers like they're the little engine that could.
They describe him like he's a miracle worker. Like, if you beat him in his house, my God, you must be Vince Lombardi's clone. Mike McCarthy's been on the hot seat since the day the Cowboys hired
him.
And
he looks, his resume is nearly identical to Tomlin's.
He coached circles around Mike yesterday. Yeah. On the final drive of the game, you've got Deshaun Elliott, who I know got beat for both touchdowns. One, he slips. I don't know what to say there. Like, I can't rip the guy.
I know what to say there. Put a friggin' tarp on the field during an hour and a half rain delay.
Do we even know if they have
Stadium?
One? Anyway, my point here is, he's been largely, I think, their steadiest defensive performer all season long. But, like, I'm so mad I don't even know what I was about to say there.
Because
I had the thought already, and it just completely vacated the premises.
That's going to happen to a lot of people.
I got it. On the line of Mike McCarthy out coaching him, you've got Elliott going, yeah, honestly, we were pretty surprised they were running it as much as they did on that final drive. You're getting outfoxed by Mike McCarthy. He just says, oh, they'll probably assume that we'll pass. I'll run it right at them. And they did.
Yeah,
just
Rico Dowdle had the best game of his career, 87 rushing yards. Jalen Tolbert had 87 receiving yards in the game-winning touchdown, and he wasn't even healthy on the play. He might have missed it if not for the timeout. They gave him extra time to heal up and then go out there. And that's the other thing about Tomlin here, is that if this defense is so elite and so great, you shouldn't have to burn two fourth-quarter timeouts to whip it into shape. You should never have to use it for an extra man on the field. That should be, again, miles away. Your offense has issues where there's hiccups because everybody's so young and it's not that good and it's a bunch of rookies and second year and third year players and guys in their early 20s. Fine. This defense, when you spend $140 million, it's coached by this defensive guru. You're wasting a timeout because you can't get the right amount of men on the field. And then you need a timeout. See, this gets me back to why I've said, and people have called me out for this, why I've wanted an offensive head coach and why I've wanted them to move on. There's no way, in my opinion, an offensive head coach, Sean McVay and Andy Reid, uses a timeout there for his defense to take a picture of what the Cowboys came out in and then put their, make a new play or have a new look based off of that. Andy Reid's probably thinking to himself, I'm going to keep this timeout in my back pocket in case they score. So if Mahomes has one or two big plays, I can stop the clock and give my kicker a chance
to win
the game.
If you have one timeout sitting there at the end when you're down now 20-17, if you have a timeout, you can throw the ball anywhere 25 to 30 yards down the field that you want. Theoretically, you actually complete one of those. Then guess what? You're sitting at around the 50. You have probably what, Pony, at that point? Like 16 seconds or so? 17 seconds?
Sure, you can get another playoff.
You can get another playoff and get your all-world kicker into a point where not only do you have a chance, you feel like you've got a good chance to go to overtime. But that's, again, fourth and one, fourth in the game. Mike wants to make sure his defense is right.
Hey, man, wanted to gather some information, see the structure that they came out in, get ourselves in the right call. It was a fourth down play. No hesitation about that. We had an opportunity to win that game right there. Forget what comes after. And so we took a timeout. We communicated. We got in a call that we liked, and they won the down.
And it helped them. You have no time left then. You have to run a ridiculous lateral play that didn't work. Mike Tomlin, timeouts wasted because two men were in the huddle defensively. and you lose to the Cowboys 20-17. Taking your calls on it, 412-928-9370. That's the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Let's start with Dave in Newcastle. Hello, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, so,
it's just an antiquated style of playing that does not work. But once again, his clock management was an issue. The simple fact, and I go back to this, even the fact that we're in a situation where we're in where we don't have a number two receiver, it speaks to the emphasis that they even put on offense as a whole and how it just doesn't work. And yesterday, there were so many examples that just put the dot on why it isn't going to work and why we're going to miss the playoffs again. It's just broken. The whole philosophy of the team is broken, and that's what you saw last night.
They've got a wide receiver who they picked in the third round who's completely healthy, and they prioritize special teams and having a million tight ends more than giving Roman Wilson a shot. If that doesn't, you know, say what you will about what they should do with Devontae Adams or George Pickens, how about that situation right there? I got to watch Brandon Johnson get snaps.
Here's something that kills me about that. You just said special teams. Think about last night's game or this morning's game or whatever the hell you want to call it. They won the turnover battle functionally 3-0. I don't count the last play, do you? Like, I think of them as plus +3 for that game in turnovers. They blocked a field goal. Mike loves his three phases, right? You win in special teams by blocking a field goal and taking 3 points off the board. You have three turnovers. You are plus +3. And you still lose the football game in the final 5 minutes. Like, what other indictment do you need of your own philosophy, which I know it doesn't actually prioritize keeping the game close, but the things he likes and feels comfortable doing as a coach on the field serve to usually keep games closer than they otherwise would be. How is that not the most ringing indictment of the way you, Mike Tomlin, want to coach football games?
Joe is next. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, hi. I feel like what started this mess was not signing Flores and keeping – there's no innovation in this organization. And like the caller said before, just with the same old, same old, if Tomlin doesn't pick like a new coordinator next year – I was a Tomlin guy, but I'm saying the heat needs to go on him. We picked the wrong offensive coordinator.
You're saying fire Arthur Smith already.
I'm saying Arthur Smith goes at the end of this year, and I'm saying Terrell Austin goes. And then if
but
Tomlin,
Terrell Austin doesn't really run the defense. We know that. Plenty of people have said on game day, Mike Tomlin is deciding what happens on defense.
I mean, the Brian Flores thing, you give Tomlin credit for bringing him in while the guy was suing the NFL because he was way underrated by the league. The guy did a good job in Miami, the offensive guru in New England, held the Rams to 3 points in the Super Bowl. And he's now, I think, the brainchild of either the best or second best defense. It's either Minnesota or Kansas City in the NFL. And I can assure you, if we went up and down the Vikings defensive lineup, their personnel is not what the Steelers supposedly have.
They have one guy that you would call, I'm trying to think just off the top of my head, Harrison Smith is the most venerable guy on that team, but he's getting up there in years.
They let Hunter walk to Houston.
Yep.
They lost one of their best players.
Yep.
And they've confused Aaron Rodgers. They've confused C.J. Stroud. They've confused Brock Purdy.
And by extension,
and
what you
Jordan
mean
Love
is...
Jordan Love threw three interceptions against him, too.
What you actually mean by extension there, when they've confused specifically Purdy, he basically handed the quote-unquote best offensive guru in the NFL his lunch in that game. That's Brian Flores 1, Kyle Shanahan 0. But Mike
Tomlin gets spanked by Shane Steichen.
But Mike was never going to give up the actual play calling duties to Brian Flores, who's objectively better at it.
Here's Jake next. Hello, Jake.
Hey, I don't know what that last caller was talking about. I think Arthur Smith has done a fine job as he so far. My main point is...
Well, can I ask you why you feel that way, though?
I mean, it's 5 games in. He's put in plays that have designed for Justin Fields. Like, the QB powers around the edge. Love that. That's what we need to do with him. He's a big body. He can take a hit. He's got the speed to hit the edge. Let him do his thing.
How about the run game?
The run game, I think we're kind of handicapped with Najee now because Warren's been out and all the other bodies that we have in the background aren't up to par with what we need in the run game.
What about this fact? Because I think this one could be a couple of different explanations, but Fields, there are charts that prove this. No quarterback in the league is throwing more regularly to closely covered wide receivers, like he very or pass catchers. He very rarely throws to somebody who's wide open. How do you account for that, Jake?
I think he's just hesitant to put balls over the middle of the field where guys are open. I saw them breaking down a route last night where he had either Pickens or Van Jefferson over the middle of the field clearly, and he's just not looking there. I don't know if that's something that he's not used to doing because he didn't have the best coaching staff over in Chicago to do, you know, the quarterback position. But, you know, I think that's probably just a him problem. I think Arthur Smith's play designs have been fine so far. When we're five games in, like, for calling him to be fired already is absolutely ludicrous.
You know, my favorite play was from him last night, Jake, third and eight to Schlumpkin. I thought that was a phenomenal call. That was tremendous.
Is that Arthur Smith or is that Mike Tomlin?
That's probably Tomlin.
That's got Mike Tomlin written all over it. If you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you wave a terrible towel and you're not out on Mike Tomlin after last night. I don't know who you are.
Thank you, Jake. But isn't there a better, like, use of person? If you want to run a conservative play, the Cowboys all year have been murdered by screens. Can we do something like that?
The Steelers actually ran one and got, what, like 25 yards on it?
Yeah, and then we didn't see it again.
I thought Smith designed a very clever play to get Connor Hayward his touchdown. I thought that was, like, well-conceived, and it clearly fooled them. And it was an interesting personnel grouping. But I do have a hard time divorcing what Arthur Smith does as a play caller from what does the head coach want Arthur Smith.
All right, that music means it's time for PM Team Plays of the Game from the Steelers 20-17 loss to the Cowboys. We've yet to hear from Donnie. He was in the house last night. He waited out that weather delay. He got home at around 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's check out his play of the game from the Steelers' last-second defeat to Dallas.
Well, since I get first pick this week, I feel like I'd be kind of a jackass if I didn't go with this one.
Fourth and goal from the 4.
Listen to that crowd.
Prescott. Throws, crossing, it's caught for the touchdown! It's Tolbert! Stays in the game! And grabs it for the score!
Who you blame there?
This is not to, you know, give a pass to anybody on the Steelers, because I don't think I've done that for 35 minutes so far in the air today. I'll give McCarthy credit for drawing up a good play using the threat of C.D. Lamb, a great wide receiver who actually plays like one on every play. If that was George Pickens running the crosser to clear it out, he might have just started walking 3 steps into the route and not had it work. But I think they used the threat of Lamb to confuse and muddle up the Steelers. And then you've got bad communication again. You have Fitzpatrick going with Lamb. At that point, you know what I want to see happen? I want to see Deshaun Elliott and Beanie Bishop doubling Tolbert, and I want to just take my chances. I know it's a safety on Lamb, who's one of the 5 best wide receivers in the game, but I just would at that point take my chances and say, Minka, try to cover this guy, and the other two go with Tolbert.
I know it's easy to say now because the Cowboys scored on the play. I think I'm bringing the friggin' house on that play.
And Prescott
just,
had
and
all
just
day.
Taking my chances, rolling the dice. I know
you're
that
not
Dak,
trusting Jackie Moon to get pressure on Dak there, Donnie.
No, I'm not. All due respect to Jackie, Jeremiah Moon. I'm just bringing everybody. I'm leaving a couple of guys back. Man coverage, roll the dice. I mean, Dak does. He does throw the football pretty well against the blitz, but make him throw one quick, and maybe he makes a mistake again.
That was a pretty bang-bang play, because Elliott, to his credit, like tried to get an arm in to like rip the ball out. But Prescott had time to step into it and make it a perfect throw right in the spot you would want to catch it if you're Tolbert, where it was easy for him to complete the play.
Yeah, I know, Chris. Here's my play of the game.
Second and 10. Prescott, nothing open. Taking off, now fires to the end.
And really, if I wanted to be even more specific and granular, I would actually say on that drive, it was the Beanie Bishop hold. Because he gets flagged for that holding call. Without it, the Cowboys, there's a sack on that play, Hayward Dak. It's fourth down. They're down 4. Aubrey's automatic. McCarthy's thinking the Steelers offense has had one really good drive the entire game. I'll kick a field goal and make it a 1-point game with an entire quarter left. 10-9. You keep playing the game out. Cowboys touchdown here at the end of the game. They're needing a 2-point conversion to force overtime instead of winning the game in regulation. That was a huge play, and it opened up that possibility that they were going to score a touchdown on that drive, and a pedestrian running back who was on the practice squad for years in Dallas comes through, which also is a lesson about the Steelers and their roster management with Najee Harris. That finally they corrected that egregious sin by not picking up his fifth-year option. But look at the Cowboys. The guy who they drafted in the top five had 6 carries for 17 yards and 2.8 yards per carry. And Rico Dowdle had 20 for 87 and then that 22-yard touchdown catch, which gave Dallas the lead early in the fourth quarter. Yuck.
Our esteemed producer, former Packers tight end Jermichael Finley, he does yeoman's work on these Sundays, cutting up a ton of stuff. And so I want to thank him sincerely because there's a plethora, a treasure trove, a myriad, as Mike would say.
But this is your way of saying he doesn't have the play you want?
Well, he can't read my mind because the play I wanted, you know what I'm going to do?
You should text him from now on.
No, it's okay.
And have him get it before the show. He'll do it.
Because I was going to use your play, Pony, but that's okay. Because I can always sneak my way out of it by just doing something like mean and sarcastic. All right, so here is my play of the game, but it's not really this play. Here we go.
Third and one. He had Najee Harris, didn't go there. Comes back though to Pickens, has the first down. There's a flag down as he works the sideline inside the 15, and a flag on the back end of that for 21 yards.
There were two fouls on the play, both by the defense. Offside. Number 55, this penalty is declined. Personal foul, late hit out of bounds. Number 6, the penalty's half the distance to the goal. It's an automatic first down.
All right, that was George Pickens' best play of the game. I was surprised that he managed to actually not take a retaliatory personal foul after he did get hit late out of bounds, and he just got up and didn't do anything stupid, which feels like a small miracle right now, given how hot-headed he's been and how immature he's acted. The actual play of the game, 3rd and 4, Steelers have just blocked a field goal. They are up 10-6. They have the ball near midfield. They're in Dallas territory.
Yep.
Fields does not throw a great pass, but Fields throws a pass that I would argue a wide receiver of George Pickens' alleged status should catch literally 100 times out of 100. It goes right through the wickets.
I was going to say the same thing. That is a wickets play.
Croquet. You hit the mallet and the ball goes through the
Did
wickets,
you know that,
and that's
Donnie?
How you score.
You know about wickets, but I always say it. When a wide receiver puts his hands up, ball zips right through.
I don't know why.
I always, that went right through those wickets.
Pictured it as some sort of like basket with like, there's
no,
like a little
wicker
basket.
It's like an upside down U in the ground.
Oh, I know
and then
what
you
they
take
are.
The little croquet mallet.
I just didn't know what they were called.
If he catches that ball, not only do they get a first down, because I'm 99% sure he was beyond the sticks when he would have caught it, he probably can turn up field and get a couple more yards.
And then they're very close to
their
field goal range.
And then they're already in Boswell's field goal range. And yep. I'm very, very sick of, you know, I defended Tomlin for many years and then just was enraged for 5 straight minutes to start the show. I'm equally sick of defending this guy.
Wow.
I really am.
Another 180 from
And you
Mosey.
Know what? You know what else I'm going to do here? You know what? We don't have time. It is very telling to me that on the Ferguson 27-yarder, CeeDee Lamb, who has done more in the NFL by far than George Pickens individually, CeeDee Lamb, when Ferguson catches that ball, is wiping out Beanie Bishop with a block, and then in his truest Hines Ward fashion, is immediately turning upfield to try and go wipe out Minkah Fitzpatrick to help his guy get more yards. And CeeDee Lamb is no, like, Terry McLaurin or a complete saint or choir boy. He occasionally gets pissed off.
Oh, he did in this game on you that can, interception by Jackson.
And he should have been. But you can get pissed off at your quarterback or get frustrated as a wide receiver and still go out and play hard. The day Pickens throws 2 blocks, clean blocks, on 2 defenders on the same play will be a cold day in hell.
All right, our PM team plays of the game. The Jalen Tolbert touchdown on 4th down with seconds left. The Beanie Bishop hold that set up the Cowboys touchdown on a 90-yard drive to score their first touchdown of the fourth quarter, and then Mulsey with the George Pickens drop. 412-928-9370. Let's get back to your calls, starting with Rich in New Kensington. Hello, Rich.
Oh, man, I'm sharing your guys' frustrations. I'm just as outraged with this, and I'm glad you guys are bringing it up, man. This timeout thing is no one else talking about it. They're all talking about the words of wisdom and the grapes and this and that. How many times has this guy blown timeouts and challenges? I mean, he blew a timeout on the Beanie Bishop to save 5 yards in the fourth quarter. Like, we don't need that timeout. We just blow it. And then if you watch the end play, Patrick Queen is visibly upset on the field when Tomlin calls that timeout. So they probably had the matchup they wanted, and he didn't want to blow that timeout, and he does it again.
Not that Patrick Queen right now.
I'm not quite
in the mood to want to side with Patrick Queen on things, but I get it. I don't think many head coaches, especially ones who are not deeply rooted on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think a Matt LaFleur or a Sean McVay or a Kyle Shanahan would have called the defensive timeout in that situation. They would have wanted it in case there was a score to give their offense a chance.
But in Mike's mind, that was the game one way or another. It doesn't even go into his mind
No, you're right.
that he could potentially still tie the game.